J1. Number 7B.
Now, mind actually reveals itself, then we can use this terminology under light, which means mental or spiritual illumination, or to bring forth knowledge. We can use not only light, but we can use comprehension. We can use the terms illumination, inspired thought, vision, discovery, because mind illumines man, mind brings to man inspired thinking. You see, again, man on that second degree, so that term light can show that mind illumines man, or mind brings to man inspired thoughts, you see. This is why mind is symbolized in that first day of creation where the divine mind or God said, let there be light, meaning let there be illumination, inspired thinking. And it always, when we speak about light, in we see it in science and health, they say that if one is seeking after the light or comprehension, that one must have an open thought to let in this light or understanding. That's just a way of saying. Okay, now, we just go on here and build more and see how our list is doing. We see that we're down to manifests as an idea which characterizes mind. Now, what will manifest do for mind? What does that mean? How would that help us get a more round tone of what mind is? So finally, we can just say mind. Now, manifest is something important because not only does mind create, but mind alone brings its creation to light. So you can say that mind alone manifests itself. Mind alone manifests itself. Mind manifests its image, and manifest means to disclose to the eye or to make it appear. So mind manifests its image. So one sees, therefore, that we actually see something. And it's interesting that so often people feel about spiritual things that one starts thinking about spiritual things that it's going to take you off into a void or into a blank universe or into some kind of mystical differentiated whole. But we see that this synonymous term, mind, is saying that life is full of images because mind actually manifests images. So in no way does man go off into an imageless spiritual existence and just sits in a void, a static void, because mind is saying, because mind says, I might manifest my image. Therefore, manifest means to make, to disclose to the eye. So always in spiritual reality, forever, there will be images, because manifest is a idea of mind. Forever we will have mental images. That is something which is inherent in being. We must have mental images. Because mind manifests itself, mental images exist as a true fact in mind. We will no way go off into a fantastic little closet and sit into a void, which some people get so afraid of spiritual being. They think it's going off into some big void. Or you see that people are so afraid of spiritual reality and afraid of spiritual understanding, you know, because they feel like they're going off into some great big cold world, I guess, in void world. But it just isn't true. This, what these ideas and synonymous terms are telling us is the fullness and beauty and grandeur of real being. It's full. Therefore, mind says it manifests its image. Mind in reality is full of images, huh? Therefore, actually, one could say that man enters, what is that statement somewhere, the light of the perfect day. Man enters always into a universe of perfect images. This is something that I feel one could just take a side remark here, because it's been mentioned to me recently about how the study of science and everything that somebody says, well, I actually don't want to go on into what you're studying, into the spirit, into the third degree, which you're trying to penetrate with science, and people are trying to penetrate with science. I want to stay to the human because the science is too cold and it's too abstract. And to something like this, we can just say, no. Spiritual reality. Reality isn't cold, it isn't abstract, and it isn't void. And you know, this is what some has this funny mystical sense about reality, that it's void. And now, who says that reality is void, abstract, cold, and mystical? Who says this? Now, I mean, like, somebody will sit there and say, I will not give up the human because to go into the spiritual, you lose all that warmth, and it's cold, and it's abstract, and it's void. That's our personal opinion saying that that reality is cold. No way. Nowhere does it. And do we read that reality is cold? In science, the synonymous terms are telling us that mind forms an image. It's telling us that mind forms a perfect image. We see something, we see a perfect image. We're saying that mind forms man. Well, there's man. Are we losing a universe? No, we gain more. And we even gain a perfect being. We gain warmth. We gain wisdom. We gain purity, spiritual understanding, spiritual power, love, health, holiness. These are just a few characteristics of what is gained in spiritual reality. It's warm. It's big. It's powerful. One doesn't lose anything, you see, but one just gains everything. And actually, one gains absolutely everything that is true and good. One sees that those seven synonymous terms are telling us everything that we gain. And one should just be able to feel as we are going through these terms, gee, this is reality. This is what really is. Huh? This is the warmth of it, the beauty of it. Here we have done. We've gone step by step. And I've gone step by step now through these compendiums with creator, producer, parent mind, as you see in your list, forms. We've gone through cause, first, basis, power, action, emanation, influence, ideas, image, divine thoughts, light, manifest. Now, with those terms, do they give you a warmer feeling of mind than maybe we had before? I mean, like, they really get us to feel what mind is, therefore we don't have just an abstract concept of mind. They begin to give us warmth to mind. And eventually we can drop these ideas, just as the old thing about driving a car, you know, you learn how to drive a car and all that. We drop those ideas and just have mind. We just know mind. But these ideas just get us into rhythm of mind. Now, this brings me actually, by doing this, to the middle of this mind compendium, and I just have wanted to do this in order to present the methodology of this compendium and to have us get the warm the tone of it. But we know ourselves that this really warmth of these ideas come through our own study. Even though that I can be here and help present these ideas, the real warmth and the understanding come in our quiet awareness working with these tones. So what I can only do, and we state so often, is to present now the methodology of how to study these seven synonymous terms and kind of have to leave it up for us to do it in our own time. So looking at the time, I would like to quickly now go over the rest of those terms. I'd like to touch on them, but in a quick way. We've gone a little slower up to now, but I'd like to go a little faster so that we go through the whole list that we have in front of us this evening. Now, I'll begin a little slower with some of these terms and then pick up speed as we go so we finish them all. But just so you have feel by the time you leave that you've felt a touch of all the ideas which characterize mind rather than just stopping in the middle. Is that okay? Would you like to do that? Okay. Now, we'll go quickly then. We'll come to now all-knowing. Now, that's the next characteristic there. And we know that to know just means to be familiar or acquainted with. So we come to the fact that mind is all-knowing. Mind is all-knowing. And in the compendium we read that mind, from which all ideas derive, knows comprehends, apprehends, and perceives all its own ideas. And Mrs. Eddy says, nothing can be novel to eternal mind, the author of all things, who from all eternity knoweth his own ideas. Now, do we see that mind is all knowing? Knowing is a quality of mind. Mind knows all because there's nothing outside of mind, so mind has to know all. If it's only mind and mind's idea, then mind has the quality of knowing all. And therefore, we see on the list, too, the other terms there, we see if mind knows all, then mind has a capacity of foretelling, foreseeing, and informing its own ideas. Because it knows all, it can foretell, foresee, and inform. Because mind is all-knowing, because there's nothing outside of mind. Mind knows all. Mind is all, it knows all, you see. This is how we can say, therefore, that mind is all-knowing, because there's nothing outside of mind, and it knows its own ideas. Now, how about intelligence? Well, we can look at intelligence there and say, okay, now, because mind knows, and because mind comprehends and apprehends and perceives and foretells and foresees and informs all, because mind knows all, you see, then mind is intelligent. If mind knows all, mind is intelligent. Therefore, mind is the only one intelligence. And, of course, just the definition of intelligence means the capacity to know, understand, or comprehend. So mind has the capacity to know and to understand and comprehend. Mind is all intelligence. And mind's intelligence appears to us as wisdom. Mind's intelligence appears as wisdom or the ability to choose right, you see. So, we go on. And we see, all right, another idea which characterizes mind is the mind of Christ. Now, this is something very natural. If one is looking out from that third degree of spiritual understanding, looking out from the divine mind, we have the mind of Christ. And this is something which other religions will not accept. They feel that Christ is only synonymous with Jesus. But in science, we know that Christ is a state of awareness. That Christ consciousness is for everyone. And that's why that statement says, let that mind so be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. That each of us is the Christ. We have that Christ mind. Now we come to mind reading as another characteristic there for mind. Well, this is easy. If mind knows its ideas, then mind reads, so to speak, its ideas. If mind knows its ideas, it reads its ideas. Now, Mrs. Eddy will say that immortal mind reading is a revelation of divine purpose through spiritual understanding by which man gains the divine principle and explanation of all things. So mind reading, actual mind reading, is where it's a revelation of divine purpose. It's the revelation of divine purpose. So mind reading is a revelation of divine purpose through spiritual understanding, or mind reading is just, we could say, mind knowing its own ideas. And we see this is in complete opposite to human mind reading, where they talk about clairvoyance or telepathy. Because we begin to see that the human mind reading is just reading within mortal mind's belief. But there's a correct way to read the human mind. Now, the correct way to read the human mind, or to read mortal mind, is to first start with the divine mind. One still looks out from the divine system of reference and from ideas as your basis, and you let these true ideas uncover all the illusions of human thought. Because one knows good money, it uncovers bad money. Because one knows reality has to do with health and spiritual understanding, this uncovers ignorance, you see, and sin and all this. Ideas uncover illusions. And this is why Mrs. Eddy will say that our master, meaning Jesus, read mortal mind on a scientific basis, that of the omnipresence of mind. See, one reads mortal mind on a scientific basis because you read out illusions. The illusions stand out like a sore thumb when looking out from the divine mind. Now we come to this on faculties, and we say, okay, now, mind alone possesses all faculties. So just quickly here, I want to see if we can get a feeling of faculties. When we say mind possesses all faculties. Now, faculties means any mental or bodily power, capability for any action or function. Now, it's any mental or bodily power. Now, if mind alone, mind possesses all faculties, therefore man is not dependent on matter or the five physical senses. That mind alone sees, hears, and feels. Mind sees. Mind isn't dependent on the five physical senses or the vibrations that come in, you see. It's a mental universe. Mind sees. Mind feels, and mind all this. You see, mind does it. Mind alone sees and feels and hears. Mind does. This isn't mind big to think that mind feels and sees and hears. It's tremendous to ponder that. It's just big. Now, we go on, and we see guidance as an idea of mind. And we see then, mind alone guides, mind alone leads, steers, and directs. We just get the feeling then, if mind is all-powerful, mind alone guides, it alone leads, it alone steers, and it alone directs. And if we come to another thing, we see unerring. And we know, therefore, if the divine mind or the divine intelligence is all-knowing, it is all unerring. Mind does not err. Now, we could also say that divine intelligence comes to the second degree of human awareness and corrects errors of belief. But mind is unerring. Now, we come to three big ones here. Ideas, will, mandate, and law. Now, these are big terms that we can contemplate and think about in our quiet moments, but just briefly, mind is the divine will. Now, what does that mean, that mind is the will? That means that mind is the divine must, so to speak. Mind is the divine will, mind is the divine must. And also you could say it in this way, that mind is the divine willingness to manifest its ideas. But mind alone is the divine will. Now mind's will, the whole will of mind, the whole will that mind has, there isn't human will or personal will of what we want to do, this and this. There's only mind's will. And mind's will and plan that mind has in view, its will, is mandatory. You see, mind's will is mandatory. Therefore, mind operates as mandate. And mandate, in its Latin root meaning, means a command. It means an authoritative command or instruction. So, mind's will is mandate. This is something in the compendium which I jotted down I thought would be interesting. It says, the will of mind appears as mandate. It allows no choice. Everything happens according to God's command. Thus the divine plan must fulfill itself, and salvation is inescapable. The mandate of mind is obeyed. You see, man is doomed to salvation because mind's will is mandatory. The will of mind is mandatory, and man is doomed, you could say, to salvation. Salvation must be, it's inescapable, you see, if we want to say it in that way, because mind's will is mandatory. And in Science and Health, it speaks of it in this way, mind, she says, God, mind, spake, and it was done. Now, Michelangelo has done a really beautiful, I think, painting of God in his Sistine Chapel. I mean, like, God is up there, and he is going, mmm. He's just pointing. And those angels or cherubs are just marching. I mean, like, they're just flying off in all directs. And you have a feeling of looking at Michelangelo's God in the Sistine Chapel, this one particular sequence of scenes where it's like God spake and it was done. I mean, they just are moving, you see? So God's will is mandatory. It's a command. You move, you see? The world moves. So mind demands obedience to its ideas, and mind's will is mandatory. Now, let's go on. If mind's will is mandatory, then it is law. Mind's will is mandatory and law. Now, you can see, therefore, because mind's will cannot be sidestepped, it is a divine law. Now, law in brief, just to touch it briefly. One can go into what law means, but just to touch it very briefly. Law means a general command or order expressively laid down. Or it means the rule or formula according to which anything proceeds or comes into being. Or it means a statement of order, invariable under the given conditions. Law, a general command. It's a statement of order which is invariable. So we can just see that mind's whole will, it's mandatory and it's law. Now, therefore, just summing up the rest of the ideas which we have on the compendium, I mean, on your list there in which you find in the compendiums, then, we can see there. Now let's just go over these very quickly. One can see that mind is the only control. If mind's will is mandatory in law, mind is the only control. And therefore, mind is the only control, and mind governs all, you can say. Or we can see that mind alone heals. You see, mind is the power which heals. It comes because of its spiritual understanding and heals. It causes man to give up its false beliefs. It heals. Mind heals, therefore mind is the only medicine. We can see that drugs don't heal because it's really mind, spiritual understanding, that heals man's consciousness. So mind heals. Mind is the only medicine, therefore we can say mind saves. And in this way we can see that mind maintains its ideas. And therefore we can say that mind is limitless. So we finally arrive at the fact that mind is all in all, and that there is only one mind. And we have arrived at all the way through mind. And I hope that that has given us just a warmer feeling of mind. And as you quickly go over your ideas, I hope that you have now a bigger sense than we walked in of what mind is.